Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson you just heard from Matthew 10, where Jesus so memorably says, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." There is so much conflict in the world today, and it only seems to be multiplying. Holy Scripture speaks to this point in a variety of ways. On one hand, it tells us conflict is inevitable because of sin and its effects on humanity. On the other hand, it tells us that we were made for harmony with God and with other people. So the feeling that something is wrong makes sense. It's rooted in the truth. We are surrounded by and involved with conflict, whether we like it or not. Whether between nations and with Independence Day in our sights, we are reminded that this nation was born in conflict. Whether it's between nations or groups of people, families, our own personal relationships, there's a push and a pull that we're involved in. A believer might ask, didn't Jesus come to bring peace to all this mess? When do we get to stop fighting? When do you get to stop struggling? Where is my peace? Well, if that's a question you're asking, what exactly are you asking for? We like peace. It might be fair to even say, we love peace, even if it's false. Peace is comfortable. Constant argument, it's exhausting. Knowing that, we avoid certain situations, even though it means avoiding things we probably shouldn't avoid. Plus, what's scarier than change? So we stay quiet, hoping against hope, things will just settle down. But that's not really peace, is it? False peace comes at a cost. How many of us have that one relationship where we know things aren't as they should be, but we don't know how to change it? That person with whom we've just barely agreed to disagree, tiptoeing around certain topics of conversation. As long as our relationships are about getting along instead of a loving discussion of truth, they're just shadows of what they could be, what they might be. Acting like nothing is wrong is not real peace, and it can only make things worse. And so we hear Jesus say today in Matthew 10, he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And it's kind of a shock. Partially because our definition of peace tends to be incomplete. Real peace, the biblical definition of peace, which is rooted in the Old Testament and Jesus embodied it, is expressed in a word, shalom. And shalom is not just a matter of ceasing to fight. It's about restoration. It's about restoration, having a restored relationship starting with God that then extends into hopeful, loving relationships with other people. When Jesus says, "Don't think I've come to bring peace, but a sword," it's a statement that he's coming to cut through false peace in order to bring shalom, wholeness. He's come to replace lies. He's come to replace all those old deals that we make with ourselves, all of our incomplete ideals about peace, with something much, much better, something lasting, although for a time it may seem painful, as a sword would. Taking a stand brings a sword. Speaking truth brings you into conflict with lies. Don't believe me? Just try it. Just say, even in the gentlest, most respectful way possible, that every life is precious and sacred, from conception to death. Or say, even in the gentlest, most respectful way possible, that human sexuality is a gift from God to be enjoyed in the setting of marriage. And it's marriage between a man and a woman. Or try this one. Say that we can know good and bad, that there are behaviors that lead to life and there are behaviors that lead to death. And watch the sparks fly. For real peace to take root, lies must be challenged. They must be revealed for what they are. That's the work of the sword. Not a literal forged weapon, but the Spirit-filled Word of God. The Word of Jesus is a spiritual blade which lays open the wound, lays open the truth, and only then can healing and shalom take place. And here is what is quite likely the most important thing that I will say to you today. Before we go rushing out into the world with the sword of Jesus' truth, before we take the battle to the lies of the world, we have to let the sword go to work right here on ourselves, our own hearts. If shalom can only come when I confront lies, then I have to start with the lies that I've told myself. The lies that I've believed in order to just get along and make things easy. I also have to accept the truth that things are not how they are supposed to be in my relationship with God. And you and I have done things we shouldn't have done. We've said things that we shouldn't have said. Sometimes the things that haunt you the most, though, are the things you know you should have done but didn't. And this can lead to enormous guilt. And it can sometimes lead to avoidance of God altogether. You know, if I don't think about it, I don't have to deal with it. But that's the definition of false peace. And God loves you too much to let you stay in false peace. He loves you too much to let you live a lie. So God has worked to establish real peace with you and all people. There's a cost for false peace. And it's a cost we bear in terms of broken relationships, things going wrong in the world, on and on and on. But it turns out there is a cost for real peace as well. The difference is it's a cost that God alone bears. A price only He could pay, and He's paid it. to bring real peace to you and me. This took place when Jesus, the true Son of God, was sent to cut through the lies. He was sent to produce lasting shalom, and it came at a high price. Jesus, who wielded the sword of truth, was himself cut down at the cross to be our substitute in punishment. The truth is, I should be the one paying for my own sin, what I've done and left undone. And the truth is, God is just, meaning that He will not let sin go unpunished. He won't just wink at it. He won't just let you go with a warning. It has to be taken care of. And the truth is that God loves you and me so much that He doesn't make us pay for our sins. He made His Son pay on our behalf. He embraced His identity as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Believing this truth enables you to see things the way that they really are. You can pick out the lies from the truth. It also enables you to see how dearly you are loved. You do not have to waste another moment trying to be good enough or worthy enough or able enough to make peace with God. It's already been done. The price that purchased peace is paid. And that opens our eyes and enables us to see, yes, my sin problem, your sin problem is worse than we care to admit. But you are more loved, forgiven, and accepted by God than you might even dare to hope. It really is true. That's what Jesus created for you at His cross. Forgiveness, acceptance, evidence of unending love for you. An old hymn says it like this: lay your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet. Stand in Him and Him alone, gloriously complete. And exchange false peace for shalom. Wholeness in Jesus is here for you. And He will make you both truthful and truly loving, able to navigate conflict with your eyes on His cross. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for gathering us together today around Your gifts. Chiefly, we come before You today confessing our sin, seeking that redemption price that You paid, Lord Jesus, in Your own blood. We know that this is the key to wholeness and a life in which we can both love others and tell them the truth, and in so doing let You do what You do best, which is to change lives one at a time. As we come to Your table today, Lord, help us to trust that You are truly present, that You are with every one of us as we receive the bread and wine, Your body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And may we leave Your table today thankful for the freedom that we have in this nation to believe this and share it with others. All this we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.